Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this very moment. For when we allow you, Lord, you orchestrate everything. And there's a reason for it. And now we want to bask in that reason and find out what you have for each one of us as you're just ready to come back to get your people and wanting everyone to be ready for that event. So anoint me from on high, Lord, please, with the Holy Spirit. Speak through me. For when we're done today, we want to be able to say, we heard Jesus, we saw Jesus. So have your will and way, and keep Satan out of here. May the peace of heaven rest here, so that not a word is missed, and our hearts and our minds will respond. So blessed to this end, like only you can do. And thank you. You always answer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John, the 5th chapter, as we look at the sermon today entitled, Are You to Be Found? That's an interesting title. Are You to Be Found? John, the 5th chapter. Boys, girls, please open your Bibles. And we'll start out with reading the story and then have a little history lesson and see what God has for us today, okay? In my Bible, it's called The Man Healed at the Pool of Bethesda. One of my favorite stories in the Bible for sure. After this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been in that condition a long time, he said, Do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming down, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and he walked. Now let me show you a little map of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. I'm sure it's very hard for you to see. But here's the Temple Mount, there's the temple, there's the fortress of Antonia, and the Pool of Bethesda is right in this area. I wanted you to see that. Maybe you've said, I wonder where Jesus was when this happened. It was to the northeast. In fact, the sheep gate's over here. That's the sheep gate. And how interesting that Babylon and the Romans, and I forgot another group, when they attacked Israel, came through the sheep gate. They came from the north. And so they immediately attacked the sheep gate to come in there. Well, here's what a model looks like. Here's the Temple Mount, as you can see. Here's where the crucifixion took place, and I cut that off. This is the fortress of Antonia. And by the way, Herod built that, and he built it in honor of his friend, and his friend's name was Mark Antony. And this is the very spot, this is the very spot where Paul was on the steps of the garrison when he was arrested in Acts 20 and spoke to the Jewish people in his defense and was later taken away to Rome. So now you get an idea. Here's the Pool of Bethesda. Now see, this is a model of what the pool looks like. Let me tell you this. I enjoy this. I hope you do. Bethesda in Hebrew means house of mercy. In Aramaic, it means house of grace. A spring-fed pool with five porches where invalids waited their turn to step into the mysterious, troubled water that were supposed to possess healing virtue. The disturbance of the water by an angel are placed in brackets in the newer versions because there's not sufficient attestation by the earlier text. Now, I'm going to talk about that at the end of the sermon. Okay? By the earlier text. Here Jesus healed a man who was lame for 38 years. The historicity of this site was once in question. See, I like this. Scholars like Dr. Alfred Lausi claim the detail of the five porticles was invented. They said John made it up to represent the five books of Moses, which Jesus came to fulfill. But recent archaeological discoveries have once again confirmed the Bible account. In 1956, digging at the ancient biblical site of Bethesda, archaeologists unearthed a rectangular pool with porticles on each side and a fifth one dividing the pool into two separate compartments. The Pool of Bethesda. And so here is a modern map, and I know it's small, but I can help you here, of Jerusalem, and there is the Dome on the Rock. And this, I find it very interesting, this is the Muslim Quarter. And the Muslim quarters were Herod's Gate, that's the Sheep Gate. And the Pool of Bethesda, is archaeological find is right there. This is modern Jerusalem. And so we discover this, that Jesus was walking to the temple on Sabbath and that he saw a very wretched case while he was walking to the temple on Sabbath. And the Bible says, don't miss this, the Bible says Jesus knew him. Did you catch that? If you didn't, you reread that story. It says Jesus knew that he had been in that condition a long time. Nothing escapes the eye, the ear, the nose, the mouth, the hand of our Savior Jesus Christ. He knew him. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, folks, I have a Greek word down there at the bottom. It's pronounced athen-e-o. It's a verb. If it ends in O, which is a W, it's a verb. And it means impotent. That's the word for impotent. Impotent means to be feeble, to be diseased, to be sick, to be weak. For you see, the man looked at Jesus, and the man said this to Jesus in answer to his word. Question. "Sir, I have no man. I have no man." An impotent man for 38 years, a paralytic, sitting by the pool waiting for it to be disturbed so he could jump in first and be healed, was completely incapable of accomplishing that task. He said, "I have no man." So I wondered, have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like you had no man? If I understand the book of Revelation correctly, we're soon going to be feeling like that if we haven't started feeling like it already. You see, we're impotent. Just like at the pool of Bethesda. We have no man. Or I should say, we feel that way. Well, I want you to know you're in good company. Check this out as I move to the final summation of this sermon entitled, Are You to Be Found? Let me tell you about God the Father. The Bible in Isaiah 59:16 says this, I saw that there was no man, and I wondered that there was no intercessor. That's Isaiah 59:16. When I first read that, I thought it was talking about Jesus, the way he felt. I suddenly realized this isn't. He was talking about the Israelites, and God was looking for a man. He was looking for an intercessor. And guess what? He didn't find one. Take a look at Jeremiah, the very next prophetic chapter, 5:1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. You're taking too long. See now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who exercises judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. And what happened to Jerusalem? What happened? Destroyed. He had no man. In fact, let's go to Ezekiel, and this is very blatant here. Ezekiel 22. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no man. No man. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like you had no recourse, no help? I want you to know God knows what that's like. I want you to know that. He knows just what it's like. He looked desperately at Jerusalem for somebody that would stand up and say, God, don't do it! And no one. You know, don't forget Abraham. Abraham quit at 10, thought he had the whole deal sewed up. Fire came down from heaven and took the cities of the plain. Why? There wasn't even 10 righteous in the city. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham had said 5. Well, we already know, don't we? It still would have been no. Because only 3 came out and one of them turned around and the other 2 were a mess. And so, isn't it interesting that God understands being alone? I have no man. There's somebody else who understands too. And that is, oh yes, God knows what it is like to have no man. Matthew 26:39. Jesus went a little farther. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, I'm really thankful for this picture. Ever since I was a kid in the Catholic Church and then the Adventist Church, I go on the internet, I look for these pictures, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They show Him in beautiful robes, kneeling against a rock, and totally miss what the Bible says. He fell on His face. He gripped the ground because He felt like He was being ripped off the planet. All the sins of the world began to be laid on Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus cried out to the Father, I don't know if I can do this. And not a word came back to Him. No man. In fact, look what Isaiah tells us. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Check this out. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, cursed by God. When you're cursed by God, you're alone. And afflicted. That isn't enough evidence for you, of course. This definitely is enough evidence for you. For Jesus said, oops, I missed one, didn't I? Let me go back. I got to go back. Because this one, I don't know if you can get a good shot of Jesus' face. It's almost ash white. I thought, here's another literal picture that captures the agony of Jesus in Gethsemane. He came and He said, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I thought, oh my Lord, if I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, would I too have fallen asleep? The one time Jesus looked for consoling from His disciples. The one time. And He comes and they're sleeping. Peter, James, John, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Jesus knows what it is like to be alone. He said in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? In case you want to know the Greek word there, forsaken, there it is, folks. To leave behind in some place. To desert, forsake, leave. So if you feel like you're alone, if you feel like you have no hope, if you feel like you have no help, first of all, I want you to know God understands and Jesus understands. In fact, you know, this morning I was walking my dogs and I thought, I didn't add it. I thought, well, where's the Holy Spirit in this? And I thought, I know where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Where the Holy Spirit is rejected willfully by an individual, the Holy Spirit knows what it's like. So we're in pretty good company. And so what do we do about this? Now that we know that the Father knows what it's like to have no one, Jesus knows what it's like to have no one, here's what I want to say to you right now. Number one, every day we need to hear Jesus say, do you want to be made well? Every day. In the morning. I can just see Jesus walked up to that man and He leaned over and He looked in his eyes. Would you like to be made well? That means that you spend time with God every day. That's absolutely essential to be prepared for the moments or the time coming when we're all going to feel like there's no one. There's no man. I have no man. Number two, everyone. Every day we need to help other people. We've got to continue our ministries in this church and even expand them. And especially as we've talked about before, our children. Why? That's how we will not feel forlorn or forsaken or overwhelmed. When you help someone else, who gets the blessing? Yep, some of you shake your head, I heard you. Now they get blessed, yeah, but you get blessed. Maybe even more abundantly because it was intentional and you knew what you were doing. Every day we've got to hear Jesus say, would you like to be made well? And then you answer Him. And then open the Bible and it'll verify what He said. And then we need to help people. And let me show you how desperate this situation is. Here's a painting from a famous man. I didn't even bother to memorize his name. And what blasphemy. He shows an angel approaching the water to stir it. I don't know if any of you stop to think about it. Here in my Bible, King James, New King James, it says clearly, for an angel comes down at a certain time into the pool, stirs the water, and then whoever steps in the water after stirring the water will be made well, whatever disease he has. Blasphemy! When in the world does God ever work on such confusion that whoever can get in the water first wins, the rest of you, sorry, Charlie. In the later manuscripts, that isn't even in, but that's okay. I'm all right with this, folks. I know about how the Bible was written. I know that sometimes the scribes, with well intentions, would add some details because they knew the story and they helped, wanted us to understand. And others would not put that in, and therefore you got what appears to be a discrepancy. Isn't a discrepancy, is not. Here's the problem. When we don't help other people, deception and falsehood will reign supreme, and they will turn to superstition for their help and their hope. Why do you think Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda? Why do you think he picked out the most hideous case? And the man answered him his classic, I have no man to help me. And he said, arise, pick up your bed and walk. My friends, we've got to be very thoughtful and intentional as last day Christians, no matter how we feel. Because deception and falsehood are rampant because truth isn't being preached. They're turning to all kinds of fanciful, mysterious, spiritualistic experiences and ideas. We're culpable. In fact, look at this quote, and I'm done here. Look at this quote. The coming of Christ will take place. This will really cheer you up. The coming of Christ will take place in the darkest period of this earth's history. His working is plainly revealed by the rapid increase of darkness. By the way, yeah, his, that's Satan in the context. Satan's working is plainly revealed by the rapid increase of darkness, the multitudinous errors, heresies, and delusions of these last days. Listen to this. Not only is Satan leading the world captive, but his deceptions are leveling leavening the professed churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. The great apostasy will develop into darkness deep as midnight. To God's people, it will be a night of trial, the night of weeping, the night of persecution for the truth's sake. But out of that night of darkness, God's light will shine. God knows what it's like to have no man. Jesus knows what it's like to have no man. And Jesus, by the way, knows what it's like to be tortured to a level and an intensity that you and I will never be asked to experience. We couldn't, because we're not perfect. And so here's what I love. Here it is. There are many from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine to them. Me, you. Many have lost their courage. Speak to them words of cheer. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. Upon many is the soul sickness, which no earthly balm can reach, no physician heal. Pray for these souls. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them that there is a balm in Gilead and a physician there. Prophets and Kings 7:19. By the way, the last book she wrote was Prophets and Kings. Powerful book, full of those incredible gems. I saw me and I saw you when I prepared the sermon and I wrote that. Bring back the sunshine to them. Pray for them. Read the Bible to them. Pray for these souls. We can do that. And God will use us so that they won't feel hopeless and helpless. Anybody know what the definition of scuba is? Scuba. I know I got it up there, don't I? Scuba. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. S-U-B-A. S-C-U-B-A. Scuba. I want you to know the first time I went scuba diving, I took a class in Duluth, Minnesota. I was a young man. I was all excited, man. I couldn't wait to scuba dive. And the instructors, they were young guys, you know. And they took a liking to me because they saw that I was really excited about it. And one day they came to me and said, "Hey, we're going to go out on Saturday, would you like to come?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't have all the equipment. I was a school teacher. I didn't have the money for that stuff." They said, "Hey, we'll take care of it. We'll do it." And by the way, when you look at that picture, that's so nice and serene. You haven't scuba dived in Lake Superior. Everybody wore gloves, booties, helmets, everything. We were freezing to death. And one of the prime principles of scuba diving is the buddy system. And they say, don't leave your partner. So my heart's pounding. We're on the shores of the Lake Superior Bay that we were going to dive in. There was ice all over because it was like March. And we had to wade through the ice, and down we went, and straight down. We kept going. And of course, I'm wearing all this stuff. And I knew it, but I didn't think about it because of my excitement. I get claustrophobic. When Jenny makes the bed too tight and my feet are down there, I feel claustrophobic. You got all this rubber on. The deeper you go, And so I'm a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm having a ball because I'm seeing stuff and we're going deeper. And the two guys are looking at me. I have one on both sides of me, and they were the instructors. And I saw something and I just diverted for what I thought was a second. I looked up and they were gone. And folks, I panicked. I looked up, I looked over, and suddenly all I could see was a black haze because the sunlight was just, I was deep enough that you couldn't really see the sun, but I knew it was up there. So I thought, I better go to the surface and try to find where they are. Really brilliant, that was. So I started going up, and then my mind said, I'm not getting to the top. And I started going faster and breathing harder. You're not getting to the top. And now I got to get to the top. And I went faster. Finally, I broke through the surface. Oh, this is great. And then I looked around. I couldn't see a thing. And see, if you scuba dived, you might identify, not with how crazy I was and panicking, but I tried to keep my head above water so I could see if they'd come up looking for me. And guess what happened? I got fatigued. All that weight, trying to keep my head out of water. And all of a sudden my mind says, Peter, you have air on your back. Put the thing back in your mouth. And so I did. And then I went under the water because I couldn't hold myself up anymore. And I just went a little ways. I thought, I don't want to go through that dark spot again. And I went to shore. Folks, I've never been able to scuba dive to this day with comfort because they left me. And that happened. Pardon? Oh yeah, they never said a word to me. Like nothing happened. I passed the test, by the way, which was amazing, but we did it in shallow water, not deep water. Folks, do you ever feel like you're alone? Do you ever feel like you've got no help? I want you to know God understands. And He'll be there with us because He does understand. And so when God is looking for a man or a woman, will you be found by Him? For we need the help to spare the darkness, the deception, and the falsehood that's rampant outside our church and even inside our church. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge of the hour, but the assurance of the hour too. That You know all about this loneliness, desperation, panic. And Father, I just pray that You would help us, that when You look for someone, we will say, here I am, I'm right here. And we would help other people to be cheered and relieved and blessed and helped and guided to Your beautiful light. Bless each one. May there be decisions made from everybody before they leave. And may this all draw us closer to You. Because the only way we're going to get through what's coming is if You are our best friend. So bless us now to this end, and thank You for hearing this prayer and answering it, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.